We're here at Larry Blakeney Field, Veterans Memorial Stadium in Troy. It's our Troy preseason preview podcast. Barry McKnight with Jerry Miller and Chris Blackshear, your radio broadcast crew, just at the conclusion of the final scrimmage heading into the season for the Troy Trojan football team in the season opener September 3rd against Austin Peay. Jerry, you have been doing this now for us and with Troy for nearly a quarter century now. As we get into this particular season, seeing what you've seen, knowing what you know, some overarching thoughts on the 2016 season.
Well, I think there are a lot of things to really be optimistic about as we look forward to this season, not only from the personnel that we have seen reflecting on what happened last year and what we've seen before our eyes the last couple of weeks. So there's definitely some things to be positive about. There's also some concerns at this point, and some of those, again, are based on what we've seen in a very limited scope. You can't get a full picture from these practices because so many players are being held out from a precautionary measure. Injuries play so much a part. Part of it, but I really look at it in a very optimistic way. I can look ahead at this schedule that we've got and see that this team has a chance to, I think, get enough wins to get to a bowl game. There are going to be a lot of things that'll be very positive for us to talk about. For me, it starts with the defense. I think this defense has a chance to be something very special, going back to even 06, 07 and those teams. I think we've got a chance to be very, very good defensively. And I like what I've seen there personnel-wise, and certainly they're really buying into what Vic Koning has done. Offensively, I think there's more question marks, particularly from depth in some areas. But you've got a seasoned quarterback coming back. If he can find some consistency, I think this offensive team has a chance to put some points on the board. And you've got some returning guys on special teams that certainly have the tools to be good. We haven't been overwhelmed with what we've seen from special teams so far in the fall camp, but there's still some personnel there that we think can do some good things to help this team win.
Chris Blackshear enters his 12th season on the sidelines for the Troy Sports Radio Network. Chris, last year, 4-8 year for this team, but a real good springboard at the end of the year with a big win at Louisiana Lafayette. Seeing what you've seen as well and going through spring practice and the summer and now into the run-up here in fall preseason, what are the concerns, what are the observations you've got?
Well, I think the biggest thing is when if you just take the records from an outsider and compare Coach Blakeney's last season to Coach Brown's first year, and not that much more productivity as far as wins, but being down there and being on the sidelines, and you guys sit up here in the booth, big difference in transition of the team. So many games that were so close. It was good to see the Troy football team with that fire and being so competitive again out there. At times, it's just the process, as Coach Brown's mentioned, it's going to take to rebuild the program, hence the hashtag rebuild the wall. Sometimes you were just outmanned at positions. I mean, that's just the way it was. I think you're going to see this year a couple things on the positive side. I think, Barry, we're going to look forward to that I think we're going to see improvement on is – you know, Neil came here in December. So now he kind of jumped in, tried to establish his program, hire staff, and last year, next thing you know, it was spring ball. Then you're right into – but you were still installing your philosophy, more importantly, off the field, yes, in the film room, the expectations in the classroom, the expectations in the weight room, the expectations in nutrition, how do you take care of yourself. That had nothing to do with X's and O's. Now he kind of had that established, and unfortunately, I know fortunately, depending on how you look at it, we did lose some people due to not being able to live up to those expectations off the field. But that's where he said, we're going to grow first. And I think then you transition into football, and you saw where we were so close to winning some games last year. You know, we lost a couple that we probably should have won. We lost a couple that, going into it, you wouldn't think we'd have a chance to be in. Appalachian State comes to mind, right. Going to triple overtime in the miserable weather conditions I was in, along with the team, at that game late in the year.
Weather, sorry, there was a weather problem?
I'm in mid-season form. I was too serious there for a second. I'm sorry. But now he's got an entire year to focus where the kids have taken a leadership part of this program themselves. And when you can get guys on this team that buys in to be leaders and it's not the coach doing it, for some reason, it seems to go a little bit further. So I'm anxious to see what happens. The concerns, real quick for me, is are we going to be better? Yes. Depth, still a concern. And that with the depth being a concern, You can't have significant injuries when you lose people for long periods of time. We've got enough of that already.
Well, Jerry, one of the things that you and I have talked about during the offseason and here during this final preseason scrimmage, in terms of depth and in terms of known commodities, Brandon Silvers, you know, he'll be entering his third year as the starter. He is on the preseason Manning watch list among the top 30 quarterbacks in the country. He's a known commodity, Jerry, and he's got to stay healthy.
He's got to stay healthy. And the thing I'm looking for Brandon, because you mentioned his third year as a starter, his second now with Neil Brown at the helm, so there should be a greater comfort level there. And I know talking to Coach Brown, he certainly senses that he's got a lot of trust in Brandon and what Brandon can do. He's expecting certainly big things from him, as are all Trojans. The key to me for Brandon is finding the consistency. Do we get the Brandon Silvers that we saw, say, against ULM, you know, where he's 22 of 33, 326 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions, completed a 75-yarder, or do we get the Brandon Silvers against South Alabama, where he's 16 of 35, only less than 150 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions, longest completion was a 26-yarder? You can't have those kind of fluctuations and be able to be consistent in your production. And finding that consistency with Brandon has nothing to do with his tools, his skills, his ability to throw the football. It comes down to decision-making for him. And what you hope you'll see as a third-year starter, that he's got that level of maturity to make good decisions so that he can be consistent in his production. Because we do need him to stay healthy, because although we've seen a very capable Sawyer Smith, he is a true freshman.
True freshman.
And that is never something that you want to really hit your wagon to, although he's been pretty impressive. As has Caleb Barker, another freshman in limited action. You've got the transfer coming in, but he's got so much to learn. You're right. That would be a devastating issue if Silvers went down. We're going to have him make good decisions all the way around and make good decisions in situations where it could jeopardize his ability to stay in a ball game.
Chris, I was talking with Jerry during the scrimmage, and I mentioned the fact that I have been going over some of the audio highlights from our broadcast last year to use for promos and for our openings in the broadcast and stuff. And so many of the highlights last year, Teddy Rubin this, Brandon Burks that, Jarvis Bentley here and there, a lot of those personnel on offense provided a lot of the highlights. Our outgoing seniors are not going to be back this year. So Brandon, he's got to have some help. And let's hope that some of these guys are ready to step up.
Absolutely. And I think that's where this summer camp that happens, because I think sometimes I've seen when Brandon – it's almost you can tell when he's had a good week of practice, when he's confident in the game plan, he's confident in the people around him as receivers. And he's got, to Jerry's point, he's got to be more consistent when things don't go right, because you're going to have adversity in every football game, but how you respond to that puts you in a better situation. He did. I mean, there was – I would love to have the Brandon Silvers we saw at the end of the season last year every game. But to Jerry's point, the different ends of the spectrum we've seen, I would take an average in the middle somewhere and depend on other people around you. That would be more – because that gives you the consistency that you need with that. But, you know, the biggest thing, you look at it, you know, in the backfield, you're right, Brandon Burke now, I think Burks is doing a great job. He's going to probably end up signing, I think, with the Green Bay Packers if he keeps having a preseason like he is. But Jordan Chung, you remember, we lost him, and he redshirted last year. So he hadn't been in game action in 18 months. You know, what does he do? It's that unknown with him. You know, we so much promise as a freshman, and we saw how much he contributed that year. What happens with that? Does Andre Flakes, Josh Johnson, I mean, my goodness, we definitely got some big guys back there. But who's going to be that, to your point, that number one ball carrier that when I need that 2 or 3 yards, I need that big run, who's it going
to
be?
Well, and, you know, we saw Coach Brown. He's willing and I think really prefers to find that workhorse, that guy he can really ride during a game. We saw that in Burks last year. He was able to stay in a game, give you production, rush for over 1,000 yards. I mean, they think Jordan Chun can be that, but Chris is right. That's still a question mark, because when you look at Jordan, he's reshaped his body
a little bit.
And that's all in, an effort that he can be conditioned well enough to stay in the game and get 25, 30 carries maybe a game if it calls for it. I think he can do that. I think Flakes is capable of giving you that as well. Anderson probably not the guy that you can go to that often, but he gives you a good changeup. The freshman Jabir Fry has been probably the most impressive running back we have seen in the fall camp. So he's a good changeup to those kind. But to Chris's point, the key is Chun. If we can get that kind of consistent production from Chun that we got from Burks, even if it's not as productive necessarily in touchdowns, if he can give you that 25-30 carries a game to extend those drives and allow that offense to really get in sync and then find some of these big play receivers that are on this team.
Anytime we heard from Neil Brown during the offseason, I was with him on Trojan Tour at all of the different events, and he was asked or was prone to comment on questions he has on the offense. It always seems to center around the offensive line. Tony Garcia, fellas, is a known commodity at that tackle. He started a whole bunch of games for Troy elsewhere. Gosh, it looks like a toss-up to me.
Depth is the real key there, and it starts at the center. You know, you lose, a guy last year in Dalton Bennett, who was that guy that mm-hmm. you could, know he was going to be in there over the ball every time. You don't have that now. Crumity is a guy that they're trying to bring along. They think he's going to be the guy. They've got a lot of high hopes, I think, for the Bradshaw kid out of Enterprise.
Yes.
as a freshman. The good news is, though, initially, when you look on both sides of those guys, you've got some seniors. You've got Garcia, Jonathan Boring, Tyler Lassiter, even Xavier Fields is a guy. You've got some senior guys on both sides, but the question is depth. You know, Rousey's a guy that they're depending on, but after that, it's a lot of young guys, a lot of freshmen, Chris, a lot of really young guys that are going to have to step up and take some reps, and that's a big question mark because you've got to have depth at that offensive line with the kind of schedule that this team plays, particularly the first half of the season when the weather conditions are so taxing on their bodies. If we can find some depth there, though, in that offensive line, this has a chance to be a pretty good group.
Yeah, you think about it, too. You go back and look at last year. Garcia was the only guy on the offensive line that started all 12 games. And Matt Moore, the offensive line coach, talked to us several times last year about it was almost like a piece of the puzzle. And there's only supposed to be one piece where each goes on a puzzle, but he was training his guys because of the lack of depth of always multiple positions for people so
right.
they can move them around. I mean, because you just didn't have that depth. But it was also the same time, too, he was trying to find that same consistency. And that was another thing, too, this coaching staff identified last year as a major necessity and quick need in recruiting some offensive line. And it was not the offensive line that could come in and play now, and the approach that Neil and his staff has taken is, yeah, I'll try JUCO here and there, but we've got to build the long-term success of this program, and he's doing that in the high school ranks starting here in the state of Alabama. You're seeing, again, some freshmen coming in now that they're going to have to depend on.
Dylan Bradshaw, Jerry mentioned him, maybe a guy that factors into the race at center. You got a guy like J.L. Gaston, Tristan Crowder, an offensive lineman, plus a junior college guard named Stephen Rousey that's got some heft
to him as well.
Rousey
looks like a real contributor.
He's got to have it. Got to have that, no question, from somebody, and that's one of the things that they've really tried to identify in fall camp. We are looking ahead towards the start of the season. We have seen quite a bit of fall work from the offense. Defensively, though, Jerry, you have said really since the close of the year last year and how well the defense played against Louisiana Lafayette, looking at the numbers, even before recruiting, even before some of the redshirt guys factor in this fall, you've said that it looks to you like this is going to be one of the better defenses you've seen in a little while.
Well, we saw their maturity as the season wound down last year. Mm-hmm. They were playing as I think the whole team was, but certainly I thought defensively the effort they put out there at ULL on the road last year. I mean, it started to look like the Vic Koning defense we're used to. And I think part of that is the squad as a whole just learning Vic and learning what he expects from them and understanding the schemes and everything. I think now we've got a lot of that hay in the barn already, and these guys can do what you want to see defensive to do, particularly Vic Koning defenses, and that's be extremely aggressive, fly to the football, react quickly, just bring havoc to the offense. You'll see them probably, I think, blitzing a little more. You'll see a lot more tight man-to-man coverage out there in the defensive secondary, and I think this defense has a chance to not only put up good numbers as far as yardage and production that they give up from the opposing offense, but I think this is a group that we're going to see really take a leap forward in takeaways, in really just robbing chances from the for the opposing offense and giving their offense some opportunities. I just think that this is going to be a ball-hawking defense that are going to be very, very fun to watch.
Defense last year loses two all-conference guys in Montrese Kitchens at safety and Tyler Roberts at that bandit. But, Chris, they really think a lot of this junior college safety named Chris Weatherspoon, who's coming in to take over from Montrese Kitchens. And it's interesting because junior Yonkamde, a graduate transfer, fifth-year eligible guy from the University of North Carolina, looks as though they're going to plug him in at defensive end. And that means Rashad Dillard may get a chance to take over that spot for Tyler Roberts. Let's talk X's and O's there. I like the way that sounds.
I do, too. And Jerry and I were talking about this earlier as well, too. Last year, Rashad came on so strong from his defensive end position. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, the last four or five games, he was being doubled every time. And you didn't have that tag team partner on the other end like we've seen in the past from some of the Trojan defenses. And you guys have been here longer than I have, that you had to put a helmet on a helmet. And then it's going to free up somebody else in the linebacking core. Now, with us having two people on the ends coming off the edge that are big, Jerry, that are fast, and they can get upfield. And not only with that, Terrace Lewis now can rotate back and put him on the outside at linebacker as well, too. And kind of free him up a little bit as well, too. I think all of that not only helps the defense and puts pressure on the opposing offense, but it helps the secondary as well, too, so the quarterback's not back there 4 or 5 seconds looking for a receiver, which these days is a lot more difficult to cover a receiver that long.
And we talked about, Barry, the concern we have as far as depth is with the offensive line. Depth is one of the strengths of this group on the defensive line, because when you look, you've got Rashad Dillard and Jamal Statham coming back. Those are proven entities. You put Yonkamde in there with them, a guy who can put his both hands on the ground in the middle or can stand up and put pressure from the outside. You've got great guys. But then when you look behind them, what about Seth Callaway? He was playing his best ball at the end of the year. I mean, this guy had 25 tackles, 5 for a loss last year. A redshirt freshman who they love and who we've loved in fall camp, Uvakius McGee, looks like a guy that can really impact. And then a couple of guys in the middle, some real pluggers. I think about Trayvon Sanders. I looked at his stats. He probably had one of the best years we didn't talk about much. You know,
freshman.
I mean, yes, he had 34 tackles as a true freshman last year. Big bodied kid, 319 pounds or so in that middle. And then they like to transfer in Baron Poole. Yep. He's been a guy that's been really good in camp. So all of a sudden you've got a lot of interchangeable parts. And to Chris's point, I think maybe the biggest advantage, other than just the addition of what Yonkamde brings to the table, Vic said he'd be the first guy off the bus just because he passes the eye test so well, and we've seen that.
Y'all but, mess with me, I've got my backup now. I'm just telling you guys right now.
But what it does in allowing them to do more with Terrace Lewis, I think, is, you know, because now you've got him in that hybrid position where how do you defend a guy who can, you know, who can walk up to the line or do something, who can drop back in coverage, and who is one of the biggest hitters on the team? What it allows us to do with Terrace Lewis is huge.
Yeah, and you think, too, and you hear all that from Jerry, Barry, it makes you realize the offense is needing to get where the defense is from a depth perspective. I think we're in a little bit better situation there than the offense. And you think about how much more depth would be there. I just think A.J. Smiley, who got hurt back in spring, you know, won't be there this season. How big of a year he was having before the injury here in the spring. He was going to be one of those leaders. But the biggest thing about the defense, we look back the last two years prior to Neil getting here and Vic coming back, interceptions, sacks, and tackles for loss, you know, were just – they were not where they needed to be. But we went back to 6 interceptions last year, 23 sacks, 61 tackles for loss. You want to get more on those tackles for loss, but the numbers are trending in the right direction.
You know, with an Olympics theme, because that's been on my mind, I look at our linebackers at Troy, and I could see them at a 4x400 relay better than any linebacking core in the Sun Belt Conference. Demetrius Kane moves from a spear back into a linebacker spot to join Justin Lucas, to join Terrace Lewis, to join William Lloyd, who had a spectacular year. Those are all guys who can move, fellas, that can cover some ground.
Yeah, you talk about Lloyd's a senior now, was on the all-newcomer team last year. Certainly you expect big things from him, but can fly to the football, yes. Can make plays all over. We've talked about Lucas, Lewis. You mentioned Lucas. He played in all 12 games last year, had 43 tackles. I mean, he's a guy that certainly brings it. Kane, I think, is poised. He was that guy that could really find the ball, a ball hawker that could get that turnover. He was good. And then, you know, Sam Lebby still, he hasn't nearly reached his
yep.
potential.
Mm-hmm.
The Salter kid out of Brantley, they're expecting big things for him. Redshirted him last year, thinks he's going to be able to contribute. You've got some depth in that linebacker position. But, yeah, what really strikes you there is the speed and agility of those guys as well. They've got not only depth, but they're very, very athletic.
Well, and I think the thing you've seen, and it happened and it improved and progressed in the right direction throughout the season, and it's carried over from what you've seen in the spring and also the summer practice leading up to the season in 2 weeks, fundamentally, you know, on defense, how we find the football in the secondary and cover our receivers, how we look back for the ball, how we tackle in the open field, and we're more aggressive. The fundamentals have been rebuilt and retooled, and now I'm ready to see having all those fundamentals where they need to be. Now go play and have fun.
The depth on the defensive line, we've established that. The depth at linebacker, we've talked about that. In the spear position, without A.J. Smiley, who has the foot injury, they've got a young guy that came out of JUCO that's really battling there with Josh Marshall, a guy named Tyquay Russell. The one area where I think depth defensively is a concern is in the secondary. We mentioned Chris Weatherspoon. There's another safety back there who was spectacular as a freshman and has had a really good fall camp. Named Sedarius Rookard, behind him maybe Melvin Tyus, but other than that, there's opportunities, Jerry, for people to step up back in the deep secondary.
Well, you mentioned we lose our leading tackler back there in Montrese Kitchens, and a real leader on that team. So you got on that particular unit on the team. So you got to find some guys to step up, and we certainly saw. You mentioned Rookard. He looks like a guy that can really step up and be a big, big playmaker back there. You know, he started the final two games at a cat safety, and we saw him make some plays. Witherspoon, you've already talked about, a big physical guy back there that can bring the hammer a little bit like Montrese Kitchens did a little bit. We've saw Tyus, a kid that is a redshirt freshman. I think he's got a chance to really do some good. He's looked good. He
yes.
looked really good in the spring, and he's made some plays in the fall. And then out on the corner, you've got some depth issues there, but you've got some guys. Jalen Harris, you know, is a guy that we moved from receiver at the start of last year
to
the cornerback, and he excelled. The only two games he missed were injury-related, so mm-hmm. he started 10 of the 12 games there. The junior, Cam Melton, you remember, he had to sit out because of the transfer
right.
rules. They really like him. He's made some plays in camp as well. Then you got a senior out there, Jalen Roundtree, who has proven to be a real key reserve last year, but I think he'll play a lot this year. And then you've got the redshirt freshman. You remember McDowell?
Yes.
Started out really strong, but mm-hmm. Ends up getting the medical redshirt. He'll be a guy counted on. So there's some unproven entity there, which gives you some concern about the depth, but there's some athletes back there, too, that are going to have to really play well if this defense is going to meet its potential. That is the big question mark on the in the defensive secondary, but they've got some athletes back there that can make some plays.
Special teams-wise, a senior coming back, Ryan Kay, in the kick game. We just concluding this particular scrimmage, the last scrimmage of fall, certainly some areas in special teams that, shall we say, need some polish, Chris.
I would say today, I haven't been making all the practices, but I would think today would have to be in the bottom half of how special teams perform from the very start. I mean, it was a kickoff return for a touchdown. I think, though, they might have been thinking it was not live from what that's just my perspective. I'm going to go with that.
I'll go with that, too.
Yeah, but senior Ryan Kay's back now. Ryan's going to pick up now. He's playing the ball last year, but now he's going to be doing the place kicking this year. Had a nice punt today of 73 yards in the air, the last one of the day. Real struggles, Jerry, with this is going to be, as always, we're seeing now, kicking off from the 35, the challenge of the kicking deep into the end zones and forcing the team to bring it out or get it at the 25-yard line. I think right now place kicking and punting we're going to be okay, but kickoffs, I think right now, is probably the point of concern.
Well, I think Bratcher Underwood can fulfill that, but again, he's been a little bit up and down with the consistency. They'd like to see that. Something we never talk about until it's in front of us is the snappers, and we saw the long snappers struggle a little bit in today's scrimmage. That's certainly something that, you know, Kay can be, you know, he averaged 42 yards a kick last year. He can be the greatest kicker in there, but if he's having to run around to get the snaps, he can't be effective. So we've certainly got to get that dialed in. And we've got some guys, you know, Polk, Fuller, those guys are all experienced guys, I think, that can get it dialed in. But there's certainly reason to be concerned about that now, because this team going to have good special team play. Because even defensively, if you do all the things right, but then you give up a couple of scores with your special teams, it kind of negates a lot of that. So right now there's concern in that area, but certainly the coaches are paying a lot of attention to it.
Teddy Rubin was such a productive guy in the punt return game. But, guys, aren't we ready to see at Troy again a real home run hitter in kickoff returns?
Yeah, I certainly think I would like to see that. And, you know, you've got a lot of guys that they're going to try there. We saw DeAndre Douglas do a little bit of that. We haven't talked about the receivers necessarily, but he's a receiver that do it. The McCormick kid has come in. They like what he does back there. And then if we can get Emmanuel Thompson healthy, who is still a question mark, he brings it. Rookard is a capable return guy, and then you know, we've already talked about McCormick, and there's probably a couple of others. Jabir Fry looks like he might be a guy that could bring some excitement to that. So yeah, I'd love to get back to seeing some of those days where we're really making them fearful. You know, when you're kicking to Jarrell Jernigan, Leotis McKelvin, everybody is holding their breath. I'd love to see that again.
Let's take a look now as we get to our final segment here at the schedule. Everybody's undefeated right now. Everybody's hopes are high this year. The way the schedule plays out, the first thing I looked at, Chris, when I saw the schedule as it's released, almost brought a tear to my eyes. We got six home games again. Thank goodness.
Man, that's good too. And I really look at this. It's going to be interesting how we – you want to progress in segments and get better along the way, because you start the season with three consecutive non-conference games, and only one of those were at home. And Austin Peay is a great opportunity at home to get that first win under your belt at home. And we talk about, Jerry, you know, if you ever want to get that six-win mark, defend the home turf. That's the easiest way to do it at home. But you think the season starts off with four consecutive games in the month of September, two on the road at Clemson and Southern Miss, back-to-back, two at home, Austin Peay in the conference opener against New Mexico State. But it's kind of interesting, you look at it, once we end that New Mexico State game on September the 24th, between September the 25th and November the 4th, we only play three games. Idaho on the 1st, week off, host Georgia State. Oh, then we turn around with a short week and go to South Alabama on a Thursday. But then we have the 2 days off plus an open week, and we don't play again until November 5th when we host UMass. So how you come out the gate there, I think, is very important. If you can somehow split 2-2, worst case 2-2, 3-1 in those first four games, Jerry, definitely with a win over New Mexico State, that sets up a good chance right there with plenty of time to take time to prepare and really focus in on that three-game schedule. If you can get to South Alabama and potentially be 3-0, 4-0 in conference after that streak, could be really good.
Yeah, the home schedule, I think, really lays out well for us from this regard, particularly if this team wants to compete in the Sun Belt, and I know they do, and I think they have that opportunity to do that. When you look at the preseason polls, we get three of the top four of those teams here. You know, you've got Georgia State that's got to come here. Appalachian State's got to come here. Arkansas State's got to come here. So if you will do what Chris said and really make Veterans Memorial Stadium the kind of atmosphere that we want to see, where it's hard to come in here and win a game, defend this home turf as he described it, then you all of a sudden you can make a lot of noise in this Sun Belt, and you're looking beyond just getting bowl eligible to contending for the Sun Belt crown, which is going to be very competitive.
Yes.
I think the whole Sun Belt race is going to be wide open, and I think this is one of the most favorable schedules we've seen. Not only the sixth game at home, but you get to open up at home against an opponent that you should match up well and have a well with and have a real opportunity to win before you go to the toughest challenge we've got is going to Clemson. But I like the way it unfolds. I think it's something that has a chance, as Chris said, for us to build some momentum early in the schedule and be ready to compete hard when the meat of the Sun Belt schedule comes in.
And I'm glad to see Arkansas State back on the schedule. We hadn't played them since, what, 2013?
And I'm glad they're here.
My goodness, I'm glad they're here. And the only bad thing is we don't get to go to y'all's favorite restaurants in Louisiana this year. You know, no Monroe this year, no Lafayette this year. But Arkansas State's been one of those teams the last couple of years, had a 10-win season thrown in there, and has been consistent. My goodness, we thought we were making a run in the New Orleans Bowl. They seem to play their 13th game every year now in Mobile with that. But I must say, I'm going to tip my hats real quick to the leadership, Barry, at the Sun Belt Conference. When you're talking about expansion and looking at it and regionally and strategically picking teams that make your conference better, so far, not good for us from an opponent perspective, but Appalachian State and Georgia Southern, I mean, great pickups for this conference. And what they've done the couple years they've been in this league speaks volume to how good this league's risen over the last 5 to 7 years.
And geographically, it gets a lot better after this year, too. The last season that you'll see New Mexico State and Idaho in there, so you don't have those trips. Coastal Carolina comes in into the mix. So geographically, the conference, I think, really sets up a lot better, too.
Let's ask Coach Smart how he feels about that.
Yeah,
addition.
Now
from a baseball perspective, we'll get a chance.
But hey, I know him, and I know he wants to compete against the best because he wants to be the best. But the road trips, become a little more palatable. You know,
well, I think the two real stretches that are key for this team are, again, like Chris brought out, Georgia State at home on the 15th of October. That's homecoming. And then the short week at South Alabama. That is a difficult schedule. And you do want to have at least a little bit of a cushion if you're looking to challenge for the top of the Sun Belt Conference, because you got to finish out the year at Texas State and at Georgia Southern.
Yeah, you better be hitting on all cylinders. Yeah. You got to take advantage of that three-game home stretch there, which is not going to be easy because you've got UMass, a team that you should beat. But then look at this. Appalachian State, Arkansas State at home. Then you got to travel to Texas State, where you know they're tough, and then there's no harder place to go and win a ball game than Statesboro, and that's where you wind up the season. And in a game that if we really compete like I think we have a chance to, could mean an awful lot for us and for the conference race.
And the only advice I would give fans, a couple of things from doing this for 12 years, is Arkansas State, it's an 8:30 kick, so that's going to be a challenge with that being on TV. Now, that's 9:30 in my parts. I'm thinking, my goodness, can somebody drive me down and drive me home that night?
Yep.
But if you go to Idaho and you want to go visit the landscape, take a map of the state of Idaho, because you will not be able to use your GPS.
Yes,
Chris. God bless you.
Guys, I'm
you're leaving the cell phone at the hotel.
I'm willing to do anything you want to do now. I've got the I know what to expect now, and I'm looking forward to it. That's a beautiful place to go, but that's a great place for us to take these kids on a long road trip early in the season that could get them a chance to get a win.
Chris, Jerry, and I will be there and have been there. We've all been together for over a dozen years. Jerry is entering his second quarter century in covering Troy Athletics. I'll be entering number 15, and it all begins here against Austin Peay September 3rd. Our coverage always begins on the radio 2 hours prior to kickoff. Six home games this year. Tickets for the home schedule are available at 1-877-878-WINS. Final thought, Jerry, as we get set to tee it up against the Governors on September 3rd.
Well, this is always an exciting time, because people are start to talk to me a lot about what's the team going to be, what do you think about them, so you get a chance to brag about them, and the expectations are always high. And I think they're founded with this team. Still some concerns, but I like, as Chris said, how the season unfolded last year, playing our best ball at the end of the year, what was rated by every service that I saw, the second best recruiting class in the conference. So those guys are doing the work there. They're getting the personnel in here to get us back to winning ways. And I hope the fans really get into it. That six-game home schedule is exciting. They've got promotions at every one of those home games. You can come and have a great time. I'm extremely excited about the year and looking forward to September 3rd right back here at Memorial Stadium.
And I think for me is – keep progressing in the right direction. You know, and Neil said at the media days in New Orleans a couple weeks back, and you were there, Barry, the goal this year is the bowl game. The minimum expectation this year, should I say, is 6 wins in a bowl game. And Neil was quick to say, because not only do the kids deserve it, the fans in this town and this university deserve to be back where they had gotten used to during that run, 2006 to 2010. And that's just make sure the blocks you built last year as far as building a program and getting it back to the level it's used to being at, progressing. Don't take steps back. And that starts with leadership from the players itself outside the coaching staff. And that takes the players buying into what the coaching staff's doing. I think they've already done that. Now, if you continue to do the things that we don't see, the fans don't see, it's the stuff that's already happened. How the season's going to go has already been dictated to this point for it, because it's how we've worked Raphael Horton in the weight room. It's how we've conditioned ourselves. It's how we've taken coaching. Now it's just down to executing individual game plans for your opponent. I think we're going to be in good shape. It should be fun. And, again, 6 home games, that's good for the fans. But, again, now what the team needs is the support from the fans to be here.
That means you. Again, tickets available, 1-877-878-WINS, available as well with all the information on the website at TroyTrojans.com. Bring your radios as well. Jerry, Chris, and I will have every broadcast throughout the season on the Troy Sports Radio Network. Gentlemen, I enjoyed it. Let's get a couple W's this year.
Absolutely.
Go, I'm ready to go.
We're ready for it as well. Hope you've enjoyed it. Our Troy preseason preview with Jerry, Barry, and Chris on the Troy Sports Radio Network.